Well, I had a couple of questions here. I think I'll just say a few words concerning prophecy. I have some questions. Well, one lady asked me, actually sent an email through Robin to me, and she asked us, is it good to scare people with the warnings that we have on our site, you know, and not build them up? And I'd like to point out, I don't know if you're in the room or not, but I'd like to point out that there are some warnings in the prophecies and revelations and things, but the overwhelming majority of our site is encouraging and uplifting and putting faith in people to walk the good walk, and the true gospel in people to walk the good walk. And but warnings are necessary. One reason they are necessary is because God's people pretty much are asleep right now. And they have forgotten the fear of God, which is the beginning of wisdom. You know, the fear of God causes us to get into the Word and make sure that we're right with the Lord. And the fear of God causes us to, like the Bible says, fear the Lord and depart from evil. The fear of the Lord causes us to depart from evil. And yes, God is going to restore the fear of the Lord. And He is giving a lot of warnings. And I'd like to speak to concerning a warning we talked about the other day. Because some people think that every prophecy has to be perfect in every part, or it really isn't from God. I'd like to point out to you 1 Corinthians chapter 13, just exactly how God deals with us in the gift of prophecy in the New Testament. Okay, remember, folks, God wrote this new covenant with us. He didn't make the old covenant with us. And thank God we're not under the law, but we're under grace. And the way He deals with us is already written in the new covenant, because that's our covenant. Verse 9 says, 1 Corinthians 13 and 9 says, "For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part shall be done away." We know in part, we prophesy in part. Now, it's been this way all through the New Testament. We know in part, we prophesy in part. You know, the Bible says we have a more sure word of prophecy. The Word of God is a more sure word of prophecy. It was given through the Word, through the prophetic gift. The New Testament was given that way. But it was a very high level of anointing. It was a very high level of accuracy, so much so that every jot and every tittle is in its place in the original Greek New Testament and in the Old Hebrew New Testament. That level of anointing is rarely found in a prophet today. In fact, the level of anointing that they had in the Old Testament, that the prophets, not the people that prophesy, but the prophets had in the Old Testament, is rarely found in people today. There's a reason for that. You know, think about it. The prophet in the Old Testament was God's word when he came to town, folks. And the reason for that is they didn't have God's word just everywhere they could pick it up. And when the prophet came, it needed to be the word of the Lord. In the New Testament, you rarely find that kind of anointing. There's a real good reason for it. And it tells you right here in this text. It says, "For we know in part, we prophesy in part." Knowledge has a lot to do with prophesying. I had a lady contact me here, I think it was several months back. And she sent me a prophecy. She asked me to tell her what I thought about it. Well, I read it, and I saw some things that were good, and I saw some things that probably came out of her understanding, you know, because they were false doctrines that I suspected probably her church had, and found out later, yep, that was true. So she asked me to judge this prophecy and tell her what I thought about it. I had to be honest. I said, well, I believe it's prophesying in part. I'd never met this lady, and matter of fact, she'd never really come to our meetings, but she found the site, and she thought she'd ask me that. She said, "What do you mean, prophesying in part?" I said, "Well, I believe it's part God." and I believe it's probably part you. She says, well, I never heard of that before. I said, well, it's in the scriptures. It's in 1 Corinthians 13. So she, I think, got a little huffy and kind of went away and went to her pastor. She was obviously prophesying what the pastor was preaching, you know, and of course he felt good about that. He was kind of getting petted a little bit, you know. And she asked him, you know, about what I said, and, well, he kind of railed against it and told her she had no business talking to people like that because that's not scriptural. And so she came back to me one more time, and I said, well, here's the verse. You take that if you want to believe it, fine. If not, well, I can't do anything for you. See? So the point is, this particular pastor, you know, was raising up people to prophesy, but they didn't know this. You know, since the time of Jesus, this has been true. Knowledge has everything to do with prophecy because prophecy is in our own tongue, and it goes through our mind when we speak it. And it's easy to add to it with our subconscious or conscious. It's easy to add to it from our understanding. You and I both know we think we hear things from God sometimes and we don't. And it's not really God. And, of course, the reason we study the Word of God and get our minds renewed with the Word of God is so that we don't speak contrary to Him. And you understand that in the days of Jesus, when He came, there was a great apostasy in the church, a great falling away in His old covenant people. And their knowledge was destroying them. And what Jesus came to do was to restore the fivefold ministry, or raise up the fivefold ministry to His people and restore them to truth. And so He started. Some people thought, well, He wasn't very successful. You know, He raised up 12 and then He raised up 70. And, you know, as great a preacher as Jesus was, He could have raised up thousands, you know. But He really wanted to raise up some men who were really founded in the truth, so that these men, these apostles, could go out and raise up the fivefold ministry, including prophets. You know, you have to have truth to have to be a really gifted prophet. I've known prophets that that thought everything that they said was absolutely the word of the Lord, and I knew better. In fact, I don't think I've run across many like that, but I can tell you, people like that are coming down the road. The overwhelming majority of people who prophesy are not prophets. They just prophesy. And a prophet, of course, in the Bible is an office. Besides having the gifts of prophecy and usually word of knowledge and word of wisdom, they have an office of overseer in the church, one of the fivefold ministry. So they're supposed to be mature because they are elders in the church. They're mature in knowledge. They should be. You know, I years ago I was ministering in a church, and I pointed out to the elders there, I says, you know, they had this big long list of sick people. I said, hey, don't you guys ever go pray for these people? Does this list ever get any shorter? I said, no, we don't. I says, do you lay hands on them, pray over them, and anoint them with oil? No, we don't. I says, okay. So I got to talking to one of them, and she pointed it out to him in the scriptures, and he said, we need to do that. I don't know why we're not doing that. And he took some of the other elders with him and went and prayed for people, and nothing really happened. And so he came and got me. We went and prayed for the same people, and God healed them. And I pointed out to him the difference. The difference is you got to be mature in the knowledge of faith. You need to be mature as far as being filled with the Holy Spirit. So I pointed these things out to him, you know. You know, if God's people, if their mind is not renewed, they're not going to be doing what the Scripture tells them to do. They're going to be, God's people are going to be doing without. So it says here, we know in part and we prophesy in part. Knowledge is directly connected to prophecy because prophecy is in our own language. Tongues is not in our own language. And you don't change tongues. The reason you don't change it is because it doesn't go through your mind, because you don't know what you're saying. You've got no reason to change it. So prophecy is not that way. Prophecy must be discerned, the Bible tells us. Matter of fact, I'll read that to you. That's over in chapter 14, verse 29. Let the prophet speak by two or three and let the others discern or discriminate, you know. But if a revelation be made to another sitting by, let the first keep silence, for you can all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be exhorted. And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets, for God's not a God of confusion. So, why would prophecy have to be discerned if it was all automatically perfectly right? And these are, of course, Christians God's talking to here. The truth is that they were prophesying in part. The particular vision we were talking about the other day, well, I suspect, I can't prove that because it could have been delayed, you know, as far as the timing is concerned. I can't say, but I suspect it could be prophesying in part. But you know what, folks? A lot of the rest of that prophecy was confirmed even by people here in our assembly that had dreams before I ever read it, and they didn't know I was going to read the prophecy or what it was about. Had dreams that were confirming that prophecy. You say, but David, the date was wrong. Well, like I said, it could have been one of those delays. I don't know. I can't judge about that, but I can tell you this. If it was prophesying in part, you don't throw it all out, because notice the verse. It says, for we know in part, we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect, the same word for mature, is come, that which is in part shall be done away. Now, how do you ever get to the place where that which is perfect is come and that which is in part is done away? The part, of course, that's done away is the part that comes from us, right? Or you might say the devil. Because the devil can speak to Christians, and he does do that, you know. And he tries to insert things in our thoughts, and he tries to insert things that will cause confusion, okay? Don't say he can't, because you know better, right? So, if prophesying in part, the only way we can get rid of the part is to become perfect or mature, then we have to grow from where we are to where maturity is, right? Okay, so if you can't speak a prophecy or you can't share a dream or a revelation that is prophetic, which is basically the same thing, until you get it perfect, then where can anybody ever grow up? Notice the next verse. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I felt as a child, I thought as a child. Now I'm become a man, I have put away childish things. For we see in a mirror darkly, but then face to face. So he's talking about in his immaturity, he prophesied in part. But when maturity comes, that which is in part shall be done away. Now, folks, when he talks about you can all prophesy one by one, there was obviously a lot of people that prophesied in the church. Where would they ever get to prophesy if the church would not permit anything but what they knew to be perfect? And, of course, hindsight is very good. Yeah. Here's the point, folks. People grow with their gift. Their knowledge has everything to do with prophecy. I mean, people say no, but it's not the truth. You can see what it says there very plainly. Knowledge gets in there. I've known people who were considered to be prophets. Their knowledge got into their prophecy. And I've known others that thought that all their prophecies were perfect and right and correct, and they didn't really shine the light of the Word on them very good, and they were just wrong. But we're coming to the time when the man-child ministry is about to be raised up again, just like it was in Jesus' day. Revelation chapter 12 tells us about that. Now, the man-child ministry is going to be raised up for the purpose of raising up the sure foundation of the fivefold ministry, which, folks, when Jesus came, the Old Testament church, it shouldn't be called church because they weren't coming out either, just like the Christians aren't coming out. That's what the word church means, right? The called out ones. But the Old Testament people of God were in great apostasy in their knowledge, in their relationship with God, in the gifts. They were in great apostasy. Jesus came along to give a new foundation for his called out ones, his church. And he said that he was going to come again as a little baby born to a woman in John 16. A man-child born to a woman. And we see that in Revelation chapter 12, that ministry, that corporate body ministry, is about to come on the scene and will start when the tribulation starts, just exactly like it did in Jesus' day. History repeats. So that's going to be a restoration of the fivefold ministry. Everything that's before that, folks, is going to look pale in comparison with the anointing that's going to be there, because it's going to be what the Bible calls the latter rain anointing on the morning of the third day. This latter rain anointing is going to empower the fivefold ministry to be raised up and the church to be raised up. But even then, you don't start where you finish. I mean, when you start, you know, the Bible says in Romans chapter 12 that we prophesy according to the measure of our faith. Prophesy according to the measure of our faith. Isn't that interesting? Does your faith grow? We hope so. We hope your faith grows as you grow as a Christian and your knowledge grows as you grow as a Christian. That's two things that we're noticing affect prophecy: faith and knowledge. So, are we to ignore every dream, vision, revelation until we're sure it's perfect? Not according to the scriptures. He told them they could prophesy one by one. Who was he telling that to? The same people. He said, we know in part, we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part shall be done away. We're supposed to mature with our gift. As we mature in knowledge and faith, that gift will grow. So we have to be careful about judging people, because, you know, people are very nervous about doing something in front of other people anyway. I hear a lot of people that are nervous. They don't want to share what the Lord's given them. And if you don't share it, folks, it won't grow. And you won't grow. They're so afraid because they've seen so many people out there doing the work of the devil, condemning people when they're doing the best they can with what they have. And they're attempting to step out by faith and give something that, according to this, is prophesying in part. And they're afraid to do that because they've seen what's happened to others. Well, these people that do that, they're destroying the works of God in the church. You know, when you're a baby, you get up, you stumble, you fall. You get up, you walk a little further, you stumble, you fall. You get up, you walk a little further, you stumble, you fall. It's just normal growth for babies. Same with Christians, you know, we don't get it right the first time. And so, but if everybody's so apprehensive of stepping out, speaking a word, speaking in tongue or an interpretation, speaking a prophecy, sharing a dream, sharing a vision, if they're so worried about that, they're not going to do it. And a lot of people out there, you know what I'm talking about, because you've had them and you've kept them to yourself. And yet you feel like they came from the Lord. Well, folks, the renewed mind and the faith, the true faith of God, is necessary to be mature so that which is perfect is come and that which is in part shall be done away. You have to start growing and you have to take steps to grow. And what should be encouraged in the church is it's okay. You will make some mistakes. Everybody does. Go ahead, share your gift, and let's see. We'll tell you if something's wrong. That's okay, but it does say that. It says, let the others discern. You know, if it was perfect, they wouldn't have had to discern. You know? But they knew that we are part man and part son of God. And sometimes the man part gets in there. Well, with knowledge, what we do is we become renewed in our mind. The old man becomes less and less. The new man becomes more and more. And soon you're able to share your gift more perfectly. But we need to have patience with one another. Personally, I read that revelation, and I never did feel comfortable about the date, because that's the reason I said, could be, maybe, you know, whatever. But I did feel really good about some other parts of it. In fact, I feel like the Lord has shown me more and more about that. You know, Corey here had a revelation before we read that one, before he ever knew about that one, of the Statue of Liberty being down in the water and him being in the water. We got two more revelations concerning that, people being in the water and the Statue of Liberty being in the water. And I thought about that. I says, Lord, is that physical or is that like a spiritual thing that needs to be interpreted, you know? And I felt like the Lord told me that for sure it is spiritual. not that it may not be physical one day, but it is spiritual, you know. The Statue of Liberty represents America, folks, and being in the water represents tribulation, trouble, trials. America's about to go into great tribulation. It's funny that the people that had this vision, all of them said it was important that I be in the water to see this. Why did they have to be in the water? Because they were going to be in tribulation too. You see, you know, our first, we first jump to the literal. And the more we think on something and meditate on it, let the Lord speak to us, the more, a lot of times, He points out to us the spiritual. And there are other spiritual things there. I just, you know, I haven't even taken that thing off my site, and the reason I haven't is because I believe some of the things that are in there. I'm not saying it's all perfect, but that it's prophesying in part. And we listen to those parts. We put them in our heart. We wait to see what comes to pass. We don't worry about what doesn't come to pass. Have you ever noticed, folks, that in the Old Testament, almost consistently through the Old Testament, the false prophets were not the ones who were warning God's people of the judgments to come. They were the ones who were preaching peace and safety. Almost consistently, they were doing that. That was the major rebuke to these people. Peace and safety. You know, that's the false prophets. Here's one, Jeremiah 14. Then said I, Ah, Lord, behold, the prophets say unto them, You shall not see the sword, neither shall ye have famine, but I will give you assured peace in this place. And the Lord said unto me, The prophets prophesy lies in my name. I sent them not, neither have I commanded them, neither spake I unto them. They prophesy unto you a lying vision, and a divination, and a thing of naught, and a deceit of their own heart. Therefore, thus saith the Lord concerning the prophets that prophesy in my name, and I sent them not. Yet they say, Sword and famine shall not be in this land. By sword and famine shall those prophets be consumed. Jeremiah 32 gives us another one just like that, or almost just like that. It's very consistent through the Bible that the prophets prophesy wishful thinking. They love the world. The false prophets all love the world. And they don't want to lose their kingdom in this world. They don't want to lose their life in this world. They want there to be peace and safety. You know, your understanding, your relationship with the Lord has a lot to do with what's a false prophet. Did you know, according to Deuteronomy 13:1, a false prophet can prophesy a true thing? Yeah, let me read that to you. Deuteronomy 13:1. They can prophesy truly to you, but the motive is all wrong. If there arise in the midst of thee a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and he give thee a sign or a wonder, and the sign or wonder come to pass, whereof he spake unto thee, saying, Let us go after other gods, which thou hast not known. All false prophets do that, folks. They all say, Let's go after other gods. The word gods here is Elohim. It's the name of God. It's plural, though. See, let us go after, because, well, actually, most of the time, I think 9 times out of 10 in the Bible, it's always plural. So he's talking about, let us go after other Elohim. In other words, we've created a god of our own choosing, as false prophets always do. They've got a peace and prosperity god that never chastens and never gives trouble, and just he's very comfortable with their way of life, and so on and so forth. So let us go after other gods which thou hast not known, and let us serve them. Thou shalt not hearken to the words of that prophet or unto that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God proveth you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. You shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice, and you shall serve him and cleave unto him. So, folks, false prophets can have true prophecies that will come to pass. And true prophets can have portions of their prophecy not come to pass, because it is prophesying in part. The closer we get to the unleavened bread, which is about to be poured out in the beginning of the tribulation period, folks, the closer we're going to get to having pure prophecy. There's very little of it now. There's the overwhelming majority of people who claim to be prophets do prophesy, but they're not prophets because they're not mature in the faith, they're not mature in the knowledge of God, and they haven't been ordained to be an elder. So lots of people claim to be prophets, but if they haven't been ordained by the Lord to be an elder because they are mature in their faith and in their knowledge, they are not a prophet. They may prophesy, but they're not a prophet. A prophet is one that's probably held to a higher standard even in the New Testament as far as prophecy and truth, just as they were in the Old Testament. But the overwhelming majority of people that prophesy do it in part, and the other part is them. And that's just the way it's going to be as long as people are growing up and maturing in their gift. Whatever your gift is, you know, it's subject to you, just like it said the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. And so as you mature, your gift will mature. But we need to be very, very patient with people. And if there's a mistake, there's no reason to jump on them or, you know, discourage them from walking in their gift. Let them grow in their gift. There's a bad motive behind false prophecy. A bad motive. It's not warning of the judgments to come. The judgments that were spoken in that prophecy the other day, those judgments are coming, folks. I can't tell you exactly how accurate they are, but we know from the scriptures, we know from many other dreams and visions that those judgments upon the cities are coming. They may not all come at the same time, because I don't think that's what the prophecy was saying either, and that America will be in great tribulation, and the people in America will be in great tribulation. We know that. These things are coming, folks, and we need to be warned. And yes, we need to fear the Lord and be patient with our brethren. Let them grow up in their gift. So if you find something else in our covenant, you know, first of all, we need two or three witnesses in our covenant concerning any doctrine that you have about prophets. Don't just go in the Old Testament and talk about stoning a prophet because everything he said don't come out right. Because we don't do that anymore. That is not New Testament. That's not our covenant. So be careful, folks. And where it did talk about the false prophet over there in Deuteronomy 18, you'll notice it talked about the prophet who was coming like unto me, Moses said, you know. And he was talking, of course, about Jesus, but he was also talking about the man-child. And then it speaks about another prophet, the prophet, you know, and that prophet was the false prophet. You know who is going to oppose the man-child? That's right, the false prophet. They're on two opposite ends of the spectrum, the true prophet and the false prophet. That's what's coming. And, of course, he's talking about a corporate body of prophets that are coming. So, anyway, just thought I'd share that little word with you. I know some of you might disagree with me. That's okay. We don't have to agree with everything, do we? We don't have to agree on everything. The Bible says stay in the unity of the faith until we come to the unity of the unity of the Spirit until we come to the unity of the faith. So we're even growing into that unity by the grace of God. But I tell you what, we need to be patient with one another if we want God to be patient with us. You know, the Bible says he that judges without mercy will be judged without mercy. There's some really hard-hearted people out there, and they're living a miserable life, and they're living in corruption, and the reason is they're so critical of other people. They don't give people a chance. They're not merciful. They want mercy, but they don't want to give mercy. They want grace, but they don't want to give grace. Now, Jesus said, with what measure you meet, it'll be measured unto you again. Mercy glories against judgment. So judge with mercy if that's what you want. And I thank God for people that are stepping out, that are praying, that are seeking the Lord. And if they miss it a little bit, I'll tell you what, I'm going to encourage them to keep on going. That's the way prophecy is. And, you know, if it's a doctrinal problem, that can be helped. And as we grow up, well, God will straighten the doctrine out too. Praise be to God.